Hello and welcome to the 215 Workman's Podcast. My name is Brother Robert Reynolds. I'm from KJB Right Division Radio in Lipa City, Batangas, Philippines. This is the podcast of myself and Brother Landon Dunn, and I appreciate y'all being with us tonight to hear this message that we have for you, and we pray that it's a blessing to you and a help to you. Amen. Okay, first of all, I want to apologize because I'm about 40 minutes late. I started on time, but I ran into some difficulties with my OBS studio right when I started. So I had to start all over again, reboot my laptop, whatever. And then after it was rebooted, I ran into another problem. I have those problems fixed now by the grace of God. So I thank you so very much for your patience and understanding with that. But so what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to finish this series on the unchangeable Christ. And so far, you know, in parts one and parts two, we looked at, you know, how the world has changed. Sin is out there now, proudly on the highway when it was in the dark alleys before, in the back alleys before, and sodomites are out there, doing what they do, and then we. We looked at how the church has changed. There was a time when there were quite a few churches that were very strong churches. They were King James Bible churches, you know, and then they switched to the perversions, and they're not the same anymore. You know, they're falling away from the truth. You know, and so we also looked at how the world has not changed. You know, and that is that, you know, man is looking for success. They're looking for a lot of possessions and going up high on the corporate ladder and so forth and so on, and just like Lot, you know, with the possessions and all of that. So tonight we're going to look at Christ. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, and we'll read verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Okay, so as we have seen, God is unchangeable, and Christ said that I and my Father are one. He is the only begotten Son of God. Okay, and even the devils recognized him. Go to Matthew 8. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, and we'll read verses 28 and 29. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And in verse 29, and behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Also, the disciples recognized him, even though they did not understand the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, look at Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14, and we'll read verses 32 and 33. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And also the centurion recognized him. Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verses 50-54. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. And then verse 54, Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God. Amen? So, now, I said that the Lord does not change, right? And that is dealing with his attributes, his nature, his personality, right? Such as, he's infinite. He's not bound by time. He has no beginning and no end. That's why at the tomb, the angel said, He is risen. Present tense, because he has no beginning and no ending. Okay, he's omnipotent, all powerful, omniscient. He knows everything. Omnipresent. He's everywhere. What if those changed? They will not change. Now his wisdom, his faithfulness, his goodness, his mercy, his graciousness, his justice, those won't change. But the way that he deals with people in different times changes. That's why you have different dispensations. God dispenses his grace in different ways so that he can accomplish his purpose. Okay, now look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 5. First Corinthians 12, verse 5. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Amen? Now go to Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Amen. So his attributes do not change. The way he deals with people throughout different times changes. Amen. So Jesus Christ is both Lord and Christ. Acts 2:36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Okay? He's King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen? And his words do not change. Praise God. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Praise God. You know, there's so many that try to change God's word. Just like Eve did. You know, she took away from God's word. She added to God's word. She changed God's word. Man's been doing it ever since. Look at all the perversions that we have. But God's word does not change. Thank God for the King James Bible. Amen. Now, look at Psalms chapter 12. Psalms chapter 12. And let's read verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Amen. The Lord cannot and will not ever tell a lie. He will not ever break a promise. And one promise that he made is that until a person is born again, they will not see the kingdom of God. That's a promise. That kingdom of God is not the same as the kingdom of heaven, which is physical. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. And it's inside each and every believer. Amen? Now, look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3. This is Christ and Nicodemus. All right, and we will start in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. All right. So, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. That water that you see there, that is not water baptism. That is a physical birth. You know, when you know, like a lady's water breaks. Amen. So that's not water baptism. I'm born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit must regenerate that dead spirit that is inside a lost person. All right? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, verse 6. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Alright, so when Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he died spiritually that day, and now everyone after him not born in the image of God, like a lot of people say, but they're born in the image of Adam with a dead spirit. All right. Now, I'll show you that. Look at Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. And we'll read verses 1 to 3. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him, Adam. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam. That's Mr. and Mrs. Adam. In the day when they were created. Now, pay attention here to verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. So remember that man, just as God is a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, man also is a Trinity, body, soul, spirit. But the problem is, after Adam, everyone is born with a dead spirit. And so that spirit needs to be, that dead spirit needs to be quickened. It needs to be made alive. It needs to be born again. Now, how does a person get born again? By believing and trusting Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. In this church age, there's no other way. No other way. Believing and trusting the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's it. That death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4. That is the gospel that we preach in this church age. Okay? Nothing else saves. A prayer doesn't save. Being a local church member doesn't save. Giving to the Lord's work doesn't save. Nothing. Being a good person doesn't save. All right, now, let me show you something. Let's see. Colossians chapter 2. And we will start in verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, pay attention here to verses 11 and 12. In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. That is the circumcision made without hands. That is a spiritual surgery that the Holy Spirit performs when a person gets saved. The Holy Spirit comes inside of them and he cuts away the soul from the flesh so that the soul does not suffer the same consequences as the flesh. The flesh is wicked. It's evil. And it's condemned to the ground. Alright. So now, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. That's Holy Spirit baptism. Again, that's not water baptism. Holy Spirit baptism. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's the Holy Spirit doing the baptizing. It's a spiritual baptism, not water baptism. Okay? Baptized into the body of Christ. Now, go to Ephesians. I'll show you the transaction for salvation. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Okay, so you hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You believe it, you trust it, and you're sealed. Sealed into the day of redemption, and that is the rapture. Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Acts 16:31. Amen. So, once you are saved, there is nothing, nobody, that can take your salvation away from you. You're sealed. But does that give us a right? Does that give us a free ticket to live our lives the way that we want to? I'm saved, I'm forgiven, so I can do whatever I want to do. No. Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, right? God forbid. So, look at John chapter 10. I'll show you this. John chapter 10. And let's read verses 27 to 29. No, 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And verse 29. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Amen. Safe and secure in the hands of God. Safe and secure in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I mentioned earlier, once a person is saved, they're sealed, right? I was at a church service one time before I come here to the Philippines, and I heard a preacher say one time that seal there is like an envelope. It can be broken. But that's wrong. It cannot be. We are sealed until the day of redemption. That's the rapture. Amen. So now, you ask, what did Christ do? What did Christ do that I must believe to be saved? Well, before I get into that, I want to show you. Go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. And we are going to read the whole chapter there. All right? This is a picture of what happened. All right? So, Isaiah chapter 53. There are 12 verses here, so please bear with me. Amen. Isaiah says, who hath believed? Notice that. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Man's doing that today. Our God doesn't exist. He's not real. I'm an atheist. You know, everybody knows that God exists. So there's really no such thing as an atheist. God has written his laws into man's heart. So they know. They just reject him because they don't want him interfering in their business. Alright, so verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, notice that, with his stripes we are healed. When I was working at a armed security guard job, I was working a graveyard shift, And I was on gate guard duty. And my partner said to me, "You know, the doctor says I got this and I got that. And you know, whatever I got, the Bible says by his stripes we are healed." But you know, that there is not a physical healing. That there is a spiritual healing. Amen. Verse 6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ being whipped with that cat and nine tails? Those blades on the end of that ripping down his back. Ripping the flesh off. Being spit on, ridiculed, mocked, hung on the cross with nails through his hands, through his feet. But yet he opened not his mouth. But he said, "Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do." Wow. Verse 8. "He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence. Neither was any deceit in his mouth." Verse 10. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." So it pleased the Lord to bruise Christ. God was satisfied with what Christ did on that cross. And by the way, Christ did go into hell, but he did not suffer there. There's some that say that he suffered in hell, but all the suffering that Christ did was done on the cross, as a man suffers in hell. All right? What he did in hell was he dumped our sins there. And he preached to the spirits in prison. Amen? Verse 11, "He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." And then verse 12, "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." Amen. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hold on a second, let me get there. All right. This is what a person needs to believe and trust in order to be saved. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now pay attention to verses 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Now, is that according to me? Is that according to you? Is that according to any pastor, preacher, whatever the case may be? No. It's according to the Scriptures that Christ died for our sins. And then verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Amen. That's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel that we preach in this church age. That's what saves a person in this church age. Nothing else. Amen. So now, I said, according to the Scriptures. That's what these verses say. Now, I'm going to ask you a very personal question. Do you believe the Scriptures? I certainly do. From cover to cover, I do. Now, you cannot be a true Bible believer if you want to pick and choose what you want to believe and what you want to throw out. You either believe the whole Bible from cover to cover, or you believe none of it. There are some that believe that the account of Adam and Eve is just a story, an allegory, I guess you call it. A story to teach a lesson. But it wasn't literal. It didn't really happen. It's just a story. But it really did happen because the Bible said it. And that's God's word, and God cannot lie. And he will not lie. Amen? So, another promise that he made to you and me. He will never, ever leave us, nor forsake us. Never. If you're saved, the Lord is right here. He goes with you everywhere that you go. He knows about everything that you go through. So you know we can stand on his promises. You know, we will go into a church service, and sometimes we will sing, "Standing on the promises of Christ, my King." Amen? And I shout, "Amen, amen, praise the Lord." But then, we go home, nobody's around. Our minds start wandering. Remember, the battle's for your mind. Your mind starts wandering. Start getting down because you think about all the things that you're going through. But yet, you know, you say, oh, woe is me. Why are you doing this to me, Lord? But yet, we sing standing on the promises of Christ my King. Now, I'm not perfect. And I ain't claiming to be. But we're going to sing that song, that hymn, Standing on the Promises. Let's stand on those promises of God. Amen. Let's stand on those promises. Because the Lord is always with us. Always. Remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. Hebrews 11, verse 6. So, I will go ahead and I will stop right there. That is the unchangeable Christ. Amen. We pray that this message was a help to you and a blessing to you. Thank you so very much for being with us. Thank you for your prayers for us, our families, our ministries. Please continue to pray for this podcast, that the Lord will continue to use it mightily for His glory. Amen. Till next time, God bless you.